always puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We're heading to a grotto this morning for abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsborough is here to tell us more. Santa's grotto, Gordon, is that what we're talking about?
Oh, Santa has a grotto? I don't know. I guess there's all kinds of grottos.
Oh, maybe that's a UK thing, though. We always talk about Santa's grotto. Is that not a Canadian thing?
Not that I'm aware of.
See, I'm just here to help people understand British culture. And you're here to help us all understand more about Manitoban culture and history. It's a two-way relationship.
Especially about grottos, too.
Okay, I feel like we've digressed. Let's go back to your grotto, Gordon. What was the clue from last week?
Well, I first started by defining what a grotto is. It's a human-made structure that kind of looks like a cave. And I said we were going to talk about an abandoned grotto beside Lake Winnipeg.
All right. So last week you mentioned something called the Gritty Grotto at the U of M. What was that about?
Well, essentially, it was an underground running track that used to exist there. And the air quality, I'm told, was terrible. There was dust particles floating in the air. And of course, if you're a runner, if you're using large volumes of air, that's not a great thing to be sucking into your lungs. People complained about it for years until finally, about 5 years ago, the university opened a wonderful new active learning center with much better air quality than they had in the old Gritty Grotto. But, you know, grottos can take a number of forms. So, for example, there used to be a restaurant in a grotto here in Winnipeg a little over 100 years ago. It was in the basement of a three-story building in the Exchange District, and there was a dining room, essentially, for private parties. I guess it wasn't a very successful enterprise because the proprietor of it, after only about 10 years in operation, ripped it all out and replaced it with a restaurant. But interestingly enough, that hotel and once grotto is still in operation under its original name. The fellow who first started that, his name was Mariaggi. So if any of people are familiar with Mariaggi's hotel, down in the basement, there used to be a grotto.
So that then leaves us with a type of grotto that most people think of. One's connected to religion?
Yeah. So like when I think, for example, of a grotto, I think of a place that has sort of religious overtones, a place that you could go for sort of quiet spiritual contemplation. Now, I don't know how this association came about. You know, maybe it has something to do with the symbolism for the cave where Jesus Christ was buried after his crucifixion and subsequently was resurrected. I just know that of all the grottos that I've found in my travels around Manitoba, most have been associated with Christian churches, typically Catholic ones, and quite frequently, Francophone ones.
How many grottos have you found?
Well, I suspect the true number is very much higher than the six that I've found so far. There are some quite grand grottos, such as the one, for example, at the Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Catholic Church at Cook's Creek, northeast of Winnipeg. You know, it's a magnificent one, and it's meant to resemble the grotto at Lourdes, France. Or there's the one at St. Rose de Lac, which is also likewise quite grand. When I was there last year, I noticed that it was being restored. But, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, there are some quite modest and inconspicuous grottos. So, for example, on the grounds of a former orphanage at St. Norbert, a place called Asile Rechot, there are several stone structures, some of which kind of, to my eye, look like grottos, but I don't know if that's what they were originally intended to be. But on the other hand, there is a stone structure on the west shore of Lake Winnipeg, about 5 miles north of Gimli, that is most definitely a grotto, and it's one of the abandoned remains of a place called Camp Morton.
What's Camp Morton?
Well, essentially, it was a summer camp for Catholic children. It was established almost exactly 100 years ago when a British-born Roman Catholic priest by the name of Thomas Morton arrived in Winnipeg. Basically, he was joining the newly formed Archdiocese of Winnipeg, and one of the first acts that Father Morton did was he purchased 123 acres of land, including about a half mile of lakeshore, from a local resident in that area north of Gimli. The idea was that initially that it was going to be a camp for boys, and later it opened to girls and eventually to families. The first year of operation was in 1921, and it developed quite extensively through the 1920s, 1930s, and into the 1940s.
What sort of facilities were at the camp?
Well, one of the first buildings that they erected was a chapel. And then they built a number of buildings nearby through the 1940s that were intended for staff and for visitors, known as the Arcade. Now, these were kind of interesting architecturally. They were built from locally cut logs, and these logs were trimmed to 2-foot lengths and then were stacked and embedded in mortar. So you can kind of see on the ends of the mortar, the walls of these buildings have these round cross sections of these logs that were stacked. And this sort of stacked log construction method is very good for insulation. It's actually got pretty good insulation value, and it's actually still used today in places around the Interlake. In addition to that, there was a building that, well, kind of looks like a castle. And that, in fact, was the residence for Father Morton. Whenever he came to spend time at the camp, he would stay in this castle building. There was a water tower and an engine room that was built in the late 1920s. The idea, of course, was that with all these people there, they needed water for them to drink and for various other, you know, washing and cleaning purposes. But they also had extensive flower gardens at Camp Morton, so of course they needed to water those. The tower was covered by an impressive inlaid stone. In fact, one of the most impressive things at Camp Morton was this water tower. Then there was an avenue of urns that led to a mound of soil called the Mary Knoll. It was called that because the site was in honor of the Virgin Mary. And there was a statue, in fact, of the Virgin Mary on top of that knoll. And then there was an impressive fieldstone structure that had been erected in 1927 to commemorate a First World War veteran by the name of Christopher O'Kelly.
So tell us more about the grotto part.
Well, okay, so the grotto was built in 1931. And basically what they did is they carved out a hollow in the beachfront, in the shoreline, and they set beach stones, you know, rounded beach stones in concrete. Then they carved a little niche on one side, and this was occupied by a 5-foot-tall marble statue of the Virgin Mary that, in fact, Father Morton had carved in Italy of Carraran marble. So really a substantial structure. And then they had a big ceremony to dedicate this new grotto. The Archbishop of Winnipeg, a fellow named Arthur Sinnott, was there. They had a choir made up of children from the camp that sang. There was a religious service. And it was a really big deal to unveil this grotto.
What happened to Camp Morton?
Well, you know, it was very popular through the 30s, 40s, 50s. But, you know, we've talked in this series before about the summer camps of Lake Winnipeg, you know, and as you move into the 1960s, the 1970s, you know, they just weren't as popular as they once were. So, in fact, in 1971, for its 50th anniversary, Camp Morton closed.
Do we know why?
You know, the only thing I've been able to find was that they had discovered a problem with its sewage system, that there was some kind of, like, maybe it had just reached the end of its useful life, and they decided that the cost of replacing it was going to just be too high relative to what they could use it for. And so they felt, I guess, at that point that it was just made sense to shut the facility altogether. You know, and so in late 1972, the Catholic Church sold the entire property to the provincial government. And so to give you an idea of what Camp Morton consisted of, at that time when they sold it, there were 21 dormitories and cottages. There was a large dining hall. There was a recreation hall, a staff house, the chapel that I mentioned before, a pump house, and of course the sewer and water systems. Interestingly enough, the newspapers made no mention of the grotto. You know, I suspect because it was just not thought of as an especially lucrative part of the package.
What's the present condition of Camp Morton?
Well, because it was purchased by the provincial government, there wasn't a plan to integrate it into some existing provincially owned land to the north. And it was all turned into a provincial park that was designated 2 years later in 1974. If you go online and look at the description of it, it actually is described as one of the most contemplative of the provincial parks, which I guess kind of makes sense. That was its original intent, to be sort of a place for spiritual connection, you know, and it does, of course, still have a large number of abandoned buildings, including Father Morton's castle. There's a number of those stacked log dormitory buildings, the water tower, and of course, the grotto. And although most of them are kept in pretty good repair by the provincial government, not so much the grotto. You know, it looks like it's falling to ruin. Fortunately, the statue of the Virgin Mary that Father Morton had commissioned is no longer present. I don't know where it went. I suspect it was probably repatriated by the church. There is, in addition to that war memorial for O'Kelly, there is a second monument on the site there now that was brought there from the Lakeside Fresh Air Camp. Longtime listeners may remember that way back in 2015, we talked about the Lakeshore Fresh Air Camp. And there was at that time a monument to the employees of the Union Bank of Canada. The Union Bank was the bank that had kind of funded that fresh air camp. And they moved the monument from that camp because the camp was being decommissioned and it's now actually just all abandoned. They moved it to the site of Camp Morton. So there's actually two monuments on the site of Camp Morton today.
Gordon, thank you for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
I need you to do me a favor.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please Google Santa's Grotto so you know that I'm not crazy? Okay?
It was a thing. I do not think you crazy.
It was a real thing, and that's the only kind of grotto I knew up until today. So thank you for that. What's the clue for next week?
Well, we're going to have another installment in our continuing series called Remnants of Early Manitoba. The idea is things here that people from 1870 would have recognized. So far, we have considered fur trade buildings back in January. We considered old churches in March. Next week, we're going to talk about homes that are over 150 years old.
Gordon, thank you so much for this. See you next week.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many